Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Oh my God, what have you done to your face?
Nothing.
Well, you went to the bathroom and you came back and now you look like this. What's going on?
I have shaved.
You haven't, though, have you? You look like...
Burt Reynolds!
You look like the dude on the front of a tequila bottle.
Robert Redford in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. No?
Can I be Paul Newman?
The dude on a what?
You look like a dude on the front of a tequila bottle. You look like a desperado.
Oh, I see. Muchachos.
Exactly.
Si, very good. Si. What are you saying? Do I look Spanish?
Well, you always look basically a
so
bit...
So I've left the sideburns. Listen, it's Movember.
Oh, yes.
Well, I forget what Movember is, but someone said it was Movember.
Don't know what Movember is.
It's like bollock cancer or something, is it?
It is, raising awareness of testicular cancer.
But my awareness, for example, of bowel cancer is high.
Bowel cancer is a big thing.
I sent my shit off in the post.
No, but that... Okay, you need to rewind.
You did. I'm sorry, I went not just randomly to people.
You
said
your
know.
Shit in the post too.
I'm not a lot.
I remember when I was working at the Times on the desk in Public Agenda and Career, RIP. People used to send us shit all the time. It was quite weird.
No. What?
I had to. I got more than once a bog roll covered in feces. And as I opened the post, now people just do that online.
But yes, I sent my poo in the post because... And this is actually in the papers.
It is in the papers
Not
today.
Not Giles Corran sends shit in post.
No.
Because of the raising of bowel cancer awareness. The NHS has been doing a bowel cancer thing. And they sent me the thing to send your shit back in the post. You crack it open. There's a tube with some liquid and a little thing. It's specific. And it tells you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, put the poo in the tube. And it put brackets, not too much! Exclamation mark. And I thought, these people sitting there and their job is processing all the shit that's been posted to them.
What that they don't ask for, that they
said,
require.
We don't need very much. It's like they just need like a smidge, just a smear of poo, because they're going to look if there's blood fragments. You know,
it's is like, that what they're looking for?
It's basically if there is a bit of blood. But obviously, if you're of a certain age and you with a tendency to the occasional roid,
you could
be jap flagging, you know, with a completely healthy bowel, and that's one of the key things. It's like. If you've got a bit of blood,
mm-hmm.
is it from... I remember going to my GP about five... We'll get onto the news in a minute. And I had... It's the first time there's a little bit of blood on the
mm-hmm.
on the old Andrex. And I said... I Googled it and it said, you know, like if it's a hemorrhoid, then there's one thing. But if it could be bowel cancer. And he said, it'll just be a little hemorrhoid. I said, do you want to have a look? He said, no, it'll just be... And it was like quarter past four in the afternoon. He was drinking a cup of tea. He had a hobnob going. Do you have a look? No, Stephanie, don't worry, Giles.
Don't worry.
That'll be a hemorrhoid.
No, thank you.
It's fine.
Giles just desperate to show his bum to anyone.
I do not need you to bend
over
and turn yourself inside out.
How did we get here?
My moustache. You asked about my moustache.
Movember. Yes, exactly. Well, testicular cancer is trying to raise awareness so that men check their balls.
They want to try and encourage men to play with their balls more.
Well, but with intent, you know, like for a reason, not just kind of do whatever it is that you do with them, but actually to check for...
Yeah, well, it's really responsible for us to have brought this up.
To raise
and
it
I'd just
whatever.
Like to say to our listeners, if any of the issues that have been raised so far do affect you, then please feel free to fiddle with the ghoulies during this next section.
Which is going to be about superhero fatigue.
later. Cameron.
Oh, yeah, Cameron. I was pleased to see the old man back.
Me too!
The thing is that Cameron leaving, and the things weren't linked, but Cameron leaving did usher in a really gloomy period in world history.
We are big fans of Dave, and I would consider him a friend. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it was him leaving ushered it in. I think David ushered the shit in and then left. It's the way around that it happened. I mean, it's Dave. I mean, I thought he was a decent prime minister. I liked the collegiate stuff, the alliance with the Lib Dems. We are British. We like centrist government. We don't want extremists. We don't want Braverman, and we don't want Corbyn. We want something centrist, whether we're right or left. Really, I'm a One Nation Tory. I like a broad Tory alliance of
groups. No one wants any extremists anywhere.
And I want a little bit of low taxation, but I want education and health paid for. And I want, in the One Nation sense, I want a paternalistic view of the poor, and I want them looked after. If you're Labour, yeah, you want a bit higher taxation, more public spending, but you don't want extremism.
Do you remember his Hug a Hoodie campaign?
I'm not saying he wasn't a penis.
No.
I'm just saying he stood for good things.
I agree with you.
Was it really Hug a Hoodie? Did he say that, or did they call it that?
I know. I think he did say Hug a Hoodie. He did. He had a sort of alliance with Camilla Batmengele when she was still in charge of Kinder Company. She's not anymore. But her thing is all, you know, these children are traumatised. But that's a separate subject.
Anyway,
but
David coming back.
I think that David Cameron coming back does represent a time before Brexit, no, Trump, COVID. What?
He does, but he did it. That's the only thing is...
He didn't do Trump and COVID and Gaza, did he?
You're right, he represents that, but he did sort of start the bad karma a bit.
I do think everybody forgets that before all of these other terrible things came along to make a mess of everything, the shall we stay in the EU or not was a really, really big deal in the Conservative Party. And in order... David Cameron knows a thing that not a lot of leaders of political parties know, which is that your job is to keep everybody together. And he saw that
he failed in the most magnificent way.
No, but it really wasn't his fault. He was trying to keep his party together. And in trying to keep his party together, he wanted to be like, right, this is what Keir Starmer is doing now with the ceasefire, the Israeli-Gaza ceasefire thing. He is drawing a line and he is going, no, we are all together on this and we are not going to call for a ceasefire. And if anyone votes for a ceasefire, you're out. Because he knows that this is an issue that is going to split his party in half, and he knows that he needs to keep his party together. He has chosen quite the hill to die on, but it's interesting. But, you know, I'm not some massive, great, big David Cameron fan, but I just feel that he's really been punished. The whole of the ills of all the world have just been dumped on his head because he was just trying to keep his party. Everybody forgets what a toxic issue membership of the EU was back then.
Later on The Rest is Politics, we will be discussing what we could have done if we were only still in power.
Somebody's got to be sensible, and it's obviously not
I think you're too much of a fan of David. He fucked it royally. But he's a really great man, and good fun, and nice, and well-meaning, and he's got lots of experience. And yes, when I saw him walking down Downing Street towards the front door, I could imagine him going, hello.
Daddy's home.
Daddy, yeah, it was something nice. It was just great. And you need someone on the world stage. And look, we've talked on this podcast before about, are we ever going to get to Chequers? and it's maybe this will get us to Chevening.
I fear even if one of our children became prime minister, we would not get invited to any of the main.
Sorry, Dad.
Political houses. Oh, sorry, you're just so embarrassing. And Mum's boring. She wants to go to bed at 8:30. I wonder.
Okay.
I did wonder about. So I was saying to you that, like, in any resignation letter, the MPs or whatever, they're always writing these sort of bombshell resignation. They're just saving things up for their. I'm going to put it in my resignation letter. And everyone's going on about Suella's resignation letter, and I just couldn't get past the second paragraph. But then you were on the radio this morning going, oh, it's a marvellous letter. She's marvellous. It's a terrifying, wonderful
letter.
Jesus,
fucking great. But she's absolutely... And it's like she's the mum, or the daddy, whichever you like, and he's the little baby. Her letters, you made these undertakings, you're a bit like Sam's teacher, we were talking about this morning, that particular his geography teacher, who's very, very strict, and like gave Sam all kinds of hell for behavioural issues, but then huge applause... this morning for some geography work. And she's sort of very... Sue Ellis strikes me a little bit like that. Very, very strict, very, very, very stern. Praise where it's due, massive telling off. And the way we used to quiver when Sam's geography teacher would, like, tell him off.
Oh, my God, telling off.
She was so fucking wonderfully sort of strict and terrifying and articulate about it. And Suella, in this moment, she's shat on him. She's ended him. I mean, it's pathetic. You made these four undertakings. You failed to do them. I can't tell whether it's because you're thick or a pussy. And I just think, like, whoa, shit. I mean, that's going to, whether that, you know...
Maybe you should have written it. I was wondering about... I was just wondering something along the lines of your resignation letter.
Yes.
But from where and why and what and how are you going to do it without actually...
And you wouldn't want the editor of the Times to take it wrong.
No, exactly. You wouldn't want to take anyone to take it in the wrong way.
I did think that. It looked to me, that resignation letter looked to me like about 900 words. Mm. It looked like, ooh, could you pastiche it in some way? What have you got? Where's the letter? It's today's Times, right?
No, so that's there.
No, it's more. It's 1,500 words, that, I would say. That letter. Dear Prime Minister, thank you for your phone call yesterday morning in which you asked me to leave the government. So it's like, dear Mr. Gallagher, thank you for your phone call yesterday in which you asked me to leave the Times.
Yeah.
Well, disappointing. This is for the best. And then it's like, it's been my privilege to serve the theatre, but wait, I'm proud of what we've achieved. She then lays out the things that she's done. It's all very me. And then she gets into the second thing. You have manifestly and repeatedly failed to deliver on every single one of these key policies. Either your distinctive style of government means you are incapable of doing so, or, as I must surely conclude now, you never had any intention of keeping your promises. I mean,
yeah,
you're fucking ripped. Anyway, yes, one could. I could do a homage to Suella's letter in a
similar. But how do you do it without actually?
I could resign from a variety of things.
Okay, so what could you resign from that's annoying? You could resign from, and it might be good think funny things that you can't actually resign from. Like, I'm resigning from my mortgage.
Yes.
Does that work? I'm resigning from...
Dear Barclays.
Being... I don't want to say a Jew, because that's a bit... I'm resigning from being a man. I'm resigning from being...
Oh, yes, so shirking all responsibilities. Dear Esther...
Yes, I'm resigning.
Thank you for your phone call suggesting that I leave the family.
No,
while
no,
disappointing, it's probably for the best.
Thank you for your phone call suggesting...
I must say, that is not bad. I must say that... So I would then go, it's been my privilege to serve as your husband and deliver on what I was sent to do, what the people of Britain sent us to Westminster to do. I want to thank Sam and Kitty. No, it's a bit sad.
It's too sad. Do you see what I mean?
I want to say, Esther, you have manifestly and repeatedly failed to deliver on every single one of those undertakings.
Marriage vows.
Didn't you do Love, Honour and Obey?
No, they wouldn't let me. They said, the vicar said, I went, yeah, I'll say Obey, who cares? And he went, he just sort of shook his head and went, no.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Right, what's next?
Oliver Eagleton.
Just because you might as well... Tell us your beef with Oliver Eagleton.
Oliver Eagleton. Okay, I mean, this is... Oh, I love it. I mean, it's... How do you get the word literary critic into a news story headline in the Times? Not since the death of F.R. Leavis has the word literary critic been in the Times headline, if dear old F.R. made it in. Literary critic's son led mob that targeted Gove. And you go, ooh! And I saw this headline and I thought, who the fuck can it be? Who's heard of it? What literary critic has anyone heard of apart from F.R. Leavis? They're just not famous anymore. The son of one of the world's foremost literary critics has been identified as a leader of a mob that intimidated Michael Gove during the Armistice Day protests. So Oliver Eagleton pursued the levelling up secretary. Bear in mind, Gove, mate of ours, as it happens, genuinely, David Cameron and I'm pretending a bit. We know each other. He goes, hello, Giles. I'm not going to get to Cheveney. Govey is a reasonable mate. Oliver Eagleton pursued the levelling up secretary through Victoria Station with some pro-Palestinian activists jostling with police. His father, Terry Eagleton, is a former Wharton Professor of English at the University of Oxford. Terry Eagleton was the head of English at Wadham College, Oxford in the 1980s when I applied there. And Terry Eagleton was famous because he was a proponent of literary theory. And that was new then, which it's ravaged campus now. It's brought us the sort of thing which has led to the kind of no-platforming, super-woke, lefty. And the sort of general drift of academia to the sort of hard, silly left and the espousal of deadly Marxist causes and the imposition of them on text was really what Terry Eagleton did. His book, An Introduction to Critical Theory in 1983, not that I know it off by heart, which everyone had to read then, was about the imposition of psychoanalysis, Marxism, Hegel and Kant in the beginning, then all the way through to Jacques Derrida, Lacan, Michel Foucault, Roland Barthes, all these people, these linguists, Saussure. There was this development of critical theory and the taking of the study of English away from just being chaps with pipes smoking and reading Beowulf to each other. And it became this thing. And then my whole English career was blighted by the fact that I had to read his stupid, twatty book.
I think that, you know, it has been noted that this is where the language of, I hate the word woke, but like quote-unquote sort of woke sort of young Marxists use, that it's sort of impenetrable and weird. And it is the way that, you know, young generations of people do want to learn and spit out and repeat a language that is impenetrable to other people because it marks them out as new and, you know, interesting. And is there something there? Be like, you know, funny to see old Terry Eagleton in the paper this week.
Triggering
this
for me.
Yeah, because, but isn't it interesting how you were able to weaponize that new language around literature and turn it to your advantage? And you can see quite clearly how young people sort of on the left are also weaponising that language, but you understand, you know what they're doing.
So I would like to point out that Oliver Eagleton's father, I feel, rejected me from Wadham College, Oxford, not because of who I was, but because of who my father was. I felt that he just was trying to draw the line under an era when people just went to their father's colleges. So my dad was famous Alan Corran, and Terry Eagleton didn't let me into his college. I got a better school's result, finals result, better first than anyone at Wadham in my year. So I was a better candidate than all of them, but he didn't let me in out of bitterness because of who my father was. Now Oliver Eagleton, I want to say, let Oliver Eagleton go, lock up his fucking father.
That's a perfectly decent argument. I think you should go for that. Yeah. Do you want to talk about superhero fatigue?
No, but bored with that.
Are you...
The joke! Oh, yes, where's the story? The king celebrated the British France storm.
I don't think we really need the piece. I mean, it's basically the Marvels. So Kevin Mayer, our esteemed film critic, gave the Marvels, I think, which is universally agreed with, kicking for being shit.
And it's got Brie Larson, who played Captain Marvel, which was a hit, and then two other female
who would let, just weren't very good.
And it's tanked. It's taken something. It took something like $2 million in its first weekend.
Nobody's happy with that.
No. That's like that.
But it is, and it is taken to be the you know, what do you call it? The high
nadir.
Water. This is the end. The beginning of the end was the
17th installment of Avengers Endgame, whatever it was, and it ended. The universe ended. It had there was that event where Thanos killed off half the people, and then for the last few years they've been having the offshoots, like the animated Spider-Man one's doing reasonably well.
Yeah.
The Lego superheroes thing, which is always going to be a jump the shark moment, and then loads of TV stuff. There was that WandaVision one.
WandaVision was weird.
Nighthawk. Was he called the black guy with the metal wings? He had a series.
The Winter Soldier, the Nighthawk and the Winter Soldier. Yeah. And then the ghastly Ant-Man, Blue Beetle, The Flash, those are all terrible.
There's a whole new series of heroes coming. They're all laid out 24, 25, 26, and it hasn't worked. And they're not taking them. They realise it's finally over, which is wonderful news for film enthusiasts, because the films that aren't getting made, no summer blockbusters that aren't Marvel or Mission Impossible. Mm-hmm. So, and also the thing that lamented by people like us, which is the 60 million quid thriller, you know, like with sort of Joaquin Phoenix or Ryan Gosling in with a plot, and it looks quite good locations, and but it's not all CGI.
Like The Adjustment Bureau. I'm starring Matt Damon and Emily Blunt. I watched that. It was like it's like an old fashioned film, just like a random concept, and then they had Matt Damon, and it was sort of really good. Or I saw a brilliant film with Kitty over the summer called Theatre Camp, which was just this little indie film about one summer at a theatre camp in upstate New York, and it was so funny and so brilliant, and I loved it. And those are the sorts of films that are just being tossed on the pile. Well,
I don't know whether it was little indie. The little indie $5 million film sort of happens. It's the one which is, it's the $30, $40, $50 million.
The
quite good movie with a bit of investment, which I...
Let's have a think. I don't know. And there's the things that, like, no film is allowed to just be a film and stand alone. It's got to... Even Gladiator's getting a sequel. But that kind of, like a Gladiator film. There's a lot of CGI in that.
In terms of a column, it's like, the Marvel's over... I would probably write my comic journey because I collected comics as a kid. I loved comics. One of the distinguishing thing about comics was Superman could fly and Spider-Man could swing from building to building, which films couldn't do. And then, you know, the whole thing with the Superman, the first great modern 1978 Superman film with Christopher Reeve, and the tagline was, "You'll believe a man can fly." Mm-hmm. And it wasn't bad. We wouldn't like it now, the CGI, but it was...
I loved it when he picks up Lois Lane and they fly upwards off her balcony. That was so romantic.
And they do that because he can fly upwards because they've just got a string in his pants and they lift him up. But once he goes sideways...
Her dress was so amazing. Anyway, go on.
And whenever he's flying along, though, it's all kind of green around the edge. All that happened was that they cut out photos of him lying on a bed and then stuck it on some clouds and then wiggled it in the background. But they had to compensate with good drama. Later, it became possible. For me, it was the moment in Spider-Man 2, in the first iteration with Tobey Maguire, when Doc Ock, played by Alfred Molina, is climbing up the side of a building, swoops down, picks up Aunt May, grabs her and swings back up. And I thought, fuck me. Now we don't need comics anymore.
Yeah.
That was something you couldn't do in a film. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, as Doc Ock climbs up there pursuing that, you think, this is now... And then I was all for that, because I even wrote a piece saying, I'm glad that the death of the old film. I'm no cineast. I love comics. If they can make great... And they did Iron Man and those early ones.
Yeah. Loved Spider-Man Homecoming, didn't you?
Yeah, I liked that one, yeah. Mm. So I liked this. But eventually there came to be too many. Obviously there was... Black Panther came out, some outlier amazing films. But even when they were releasing six a year and four of them were shit, and even I wasn't going to them, I thought the end is coming. So now they've got to the end and it's over. The fun thing to do would be to invent some more superheroes.
Exactly. Don't worry, boys. I'm here. I've got some new ideas. Yeah, exactly.
For example,
Invisi-Man, the man who doesn't smell.
And that's his whole thing.
The whole thing is that he doesn't smell
the dog walker. And this is like, and he's just like a man who walks and looks like a normal man, but if he whistles, quite a lot of dogs come. But like not all the dogs.
That's like in Suicide Squad, where there's someone who can command rats. That's quite a good superhero.
Does Suicide Squad, that second one,
that's the second one,
does that have lots of superheroes with shit powers?
There's quite a lot of superheroes with shit powers in it, yeah. And also the other one is Deadpool. What's Deadpool?
Deadpool's the one with...
Is it Marvel? No, yes.
That's Ryan Reynolds, isn't it?
No, it is, but it started as a comic.
It started as a... Yeah, Marvel.
But in Deadpool, the first Deadpool has two, X-Men, like, quote-unquote, like, X-Men types, and they're both sort of really shit. One of them is, like, a sulky teenager, and the other one is made of silver or something. Which
it's
is
like if you had someone who had... really, really neat handwriting that you could do very fast.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. That's really good. But like really fast. Like faster than typing. But it's handwriting. It's like that.
Or the plumber. Yeah. And he just like fucking mends your boiler in 2 seconds and only charges 10 quid an hour.
Yes, yes, yes. Or I always thought that of the X-Men, I always thought Storm was a really shit one. She can kind of bend the weather to her will. And also Toad was quite shit. He was just kind of like a toad.
Well, Aquaman was just good at swimming, which was shit because most of Aquaman was in the water.
Oh god, there are so many of those superhero films. They're so shit. I do like that handsome man who plays Aquaman. But do you remember when we were watching Aquaman? Yeah, exactly. But do you remember when we were watching Aquaman and there's an entire kind of planet under the sea and we were going, do they have to get insurance? Do they go to their little fish jobs carrying their little fish briefcases? Like this kind of fully realised universe under the sea, and it's like, do they have...
In comic world, all they have to do is swim around making war.
Is it swim around doing... But do they have to... But do they have like a neighbourhood watch? Like a little fish neighbourhood watch? Like what? Like this is too...
What about parking?
This is too much world building. This is just too weird. So yeah, I think that you could... And also, columns work really well if you can say, I was wrong about... You know, I was really enthusiastic about all these comic book films, but they've killed the industry. Everyone's really upset about it. And all these actors, whenever they're interviewed, they always have to go, I'd love to do a Marvel film. Ooh, I'm just waiting for the call from Marvel, because that's the only way they get any work.
And it's the whole superhero based on Giles Corran is the columnist. No matter what is besetting the world, he can make it into a thin joke and stretch it for 1,200 words.
And somehow not get fired.
You'll believe a man can bullshit.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
To find out what I wrote about in the end, pick up a copy of the paper or treat yourselves to a digital subscription.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.